Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. Episode 2, Season 6. It's all rally, there's no contemporary dance here. We'd have no interest at all in ballet or contemporary dance at all, would we, Jack Bennion?
Oh, I don't know, I think that's a bit quick to judge.
Okay, I'm not judging. We, you know, because it's a slow news week, isn't it? There's nothing going on in the world of rally at the moment. So, you know, our main man, who our up-and-coming young, hungry man in the world of motorsport, you know, he's got his ear to the ground. He's getting involved in rallying. He wouldn't dare go to a contemporary dance event on the night that we record our podcast, would he?
Well, who says I'm not meeting someone there that might serve the story?
I would put everything I own on that not happening, Jack. But still, we're going to come back to that because we've only got you for a limited period. A bit like probably that show you're going to see. Of course, there's no show without Punch, and we have Ryan Champion over the other side. Hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello, how are we?
I think we're good. Are you going to see any contemporary dance or anything? Have you got anything planned?
No, I mean, I do a bit of contemporary dancing now and again, you know, to a bit of music, but that's about as far as it goes.
That's good. Well, we'll come back to contemporary dance a little bit later on. Jack Bennion, we've got you for a limited period for this particular podcast, and you're the man in control. We're going to talk about the obvious thing. Of course, the big news story is Volkswagen. We're going to come to that. Of course, we're going to come to that. But we want to do Wales Rally GB. Jack, you were out there. I was out there. What were your thoughts on the event?
It was a bit of an unfulfilled prophecy, I thought. I mean, we were expecting Chris Meek to be the challenger, weren't we? And we were expecting him to be right there or thereabouts. But unfortunately, the conditions didn't quite come to him, did they? It was a bit wetter than we expected. I was up at 5:30 on Saturday morning to get to the end of Meherrin, and it was really wet up there, actually, a lot more so than we were expecting. So the conditions didn't really come for Meek, and then Oit Tanak was a challenger, wasn't he? And he got pretty close at certain points, and he got quite a few stage wins in the end. But again, conditions not quite suiting him on the first day, and that's where, you know, OJ is so good at measuring the gap and sort of pulling the advantage when he needs to, and he did that perfectly again last weekend.
Right, if I can come to you, are we surprised that it was so close on the pace to OJ? Was that a shock to you? You know, 10 seconds at the end of that rally, 10 seconds, wasn't a lot.
No, it certainly wasn't a lot, and he was obviously right on it throughout the event. And is it a surprise? No, I don't think so, because we've seen Tanak get closer and closer to the pace on the gravel rallies this year. You know, and the conditions really played to the D-Mac tyres. I mean, actually, Ogier said before the rally that he did fear Tanak because of how well the D-Macs work in the muddy conditions. And, you know, they seem to have a perfect tyre, a perfect compound for those damp, muddy Welsh stages, and it allowed Tanak to shine. And it's good to see Tanak, you know, finding that level of consistency and been a threat throughout the rally.
I'm fascinated by Oit Tanak because he has been around a while. Obviously he was in the first team, he was in the B team, and he's obviously come through in the D-Mac team this year. It seems all but done, Jack, that he will be an M Sport driver, or so we thought. Things, of course, now could be completely thrown up in the air, surely.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know much more than anybody else really at this point, but I think, you know, looking at the sort of WRC lineups, you'd expect Chris Meek to be safe, you'd expect Terry Nerville to be safe, and Hayden Paddon as well, but I think everybody else is going to be kind of looking over their shoulder and wondering whether they are actually safe for next year. You know, it's just days after we thought the driver market was pretty much sewn up at GB, and now it's just been blown wide open again, so it's going to be a swings and roundabouts as to rumours of where everyone's going for the rest of this year. And obviously we're really close to Monte Carlo when you think about in terms of weeks. It's really not that far away, so those three guys, Mikkelsen, Latvala and OJ, are all going to be hot property after doing so much testing in the 2017 polo, so they're going to be really highly sought after, and teams are going to have to make some difficult decisions.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that, obviously. We're going to do, to be honest with you, we're going to do some news and bits and pieces, and then the rest of the podcast will be debate rumours. We're going to come to some of your tweets and a few bits and pieces that have been put on Facebook for us as well. Jack, just going back to GB, you went out on the stages. I spoke to a couple of people out on the stages. Equally, you know, everyone was blown away by the performances of the drivers and things like that. I'll be honest with you, I went to Chumley, and I kind of felt a little bit let down. It wasn't for me, to be perfectly honest with you. And it was the most expensive kind of parade I think I've watched for some time. Certainly out on the stages, it didn't have that feel. But there's been equally some concerns again about fan exposure. A couple of people tweeted a little bit unsure about how many fans were actually out and engaged in Wales Rally GB. Chester for me was absolutely rammed. Chumley was very, very busy. It took 2 hours to get out of. What were the stages like where you were?
Well, it's unfortunate really that I did quite a lot of stage and stuff over the weekend, so I didn't get to that many sort of normal spectator areas, if you like. But yeah, I mean, I think there's always improvement in spectators, isn't there, for GB? You know, we're always looking to get more people out on the stages, and you know, it's the same with National Rallying as well. We're always trying to encourage a few more spectators. But the thing that's so difficult with rallying is it's so difficult to measure how many people are actually heading onto the stages, isn't it, really? I mean, you've got the car park numbers, but that's about it. So trying to judge year on year how many people are spectating is very difficult. I mean, I didn't think by the sounds of things that Irish Corner wasn't as big this year, and that was one of the big sort of, that was one of the big pulls last year, wasn't it? And it was fantastic last year from what I saw, so that was a bit of a disappointment that wasn't as big. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's so difficult to work out sort of how many spectators are in each area, but yeah, interesting one really.
Still feels very odd, right, that we've still got another rally to go. I know this has happened before, I know GB's been earlier in the calendar before, but for me, it's kind of, it doesn't even feel like GB's happened. It's weird. I spent 3 days on the rally, but I still don't feel like it's happened.
Yeah, obviously run a little bit earlier than normal. We've got Australia to come as the championship closer. Like you said, GB's always traditionally been the last round of the championship. It feels like it always should be. But, you know, strange when we've had such good weather in the UK comparatively over the last few weeks. It's been relatively dry. We still saw the typically slippery, muddy, wet conditions that GB always seems to provide. And yet now we're back to pretty good weather again.
Absolutely. Now, Jack, before we let you go, obviously you have got commitments to ballet this evening. Headlines. I can't help it, Jack. You couldn't tell me. Headlines for this week, my friend.
Yeah. It's been a busy week at GB. I mean, I guess it's more sort of centred on GB itself, really, the news this week. But obviously, we've got Ben Taylor very happy with how Chester's gone and how that sort of. How that sort of played out, and Chumley as well. I mean, I know you said Chumley wasn't really your cup of tea, but I think it's, I think in terms of getting general people in, I think it's good to sort of encourage people to that kind of thing who necessarily aren't into rallying. You know, we've got spectators who go out every year and go to Cockinog and Meheran and places like that. But Chumley does that job of getting sort of more people that aren't focused on the sport, if you like, getting them there. So I think it works in certain respects. But Chester was brilliant for me as someone who's grown up in Chester, and I got to see the cars come under the clock and stuff like that. It was quite emotional at some points. But yeah, I thought they did a really good job at Chester, and the drivers really enjoyed it as well.
Again, you know, I went down to Chester. I spent Friday evening at Chester, and Mark James was doing an excellent job, and it did have that vibe. But you know, obviously we had Brimmel Pierce on before Wales Rally GB, and I know him and his team have been working very, very hard to kind of get that vibe back. And you know, I really wanted it to happen, and it really didn't disappoint. Right, I know obviously you were over there for which is something we're going to talk about. You went over for the rally forum. Was excitement starting to build already at that point on the Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it was really. I mean, it's like you said, it's they did a great job to bring a different flavour to the rally, to bring Chester back into the fold, and that's you know, and that's probably what's been missing from the rally over the last few years is a town or a city that really takes hold of it. You know, in Cardiff, despite the fact Cardiff was a fantastic backdrop, I think there's so much goes on in Cardiff that Wales Rally GB did get lost a little bit in a city of that size, whereas you know, Chester really took it to heart again, and great to see so many people out on the street, a podium, you know, right in those famous historic streets, and yeah, great to see.
I think there was something.
I think we've We've just got a different kind of spectator. Sorry, I think we've just got a different kind of spectator these days. I mean, you know, obviously back in the day, you'd go stage to stage and have a bit of a road trip and all that sort of stuff. And it seems like these days spectators just want that sort of one area where they can go and see all the cars and chat to the drivers and don't necessarily want to get out in the forest as much as they used to. And with it being a sprint event and less stages, there's less opportunity to go to multiple stages in a day in terms of travel as well. So I think what we're seeing is, the organisers reacting to the kind of events that we're running these days and giving the fans that kind of opportunity to get close up to the drivers that maybe we didn't get so much in the past.
I think going back to what Rye was just saying there as well about Cardiff, I worked on a few of those events and, you know, we had situations where we had three service parks, for instance, which just diluted the whole service park experience. I think Deeside is perfect, you know, and it just works so well. And I think, as you said, right, we just needed just to give it just a little bit of razzmatazz. And I think Chester's brought that back. But Jack, any other headlines we need to be aware of for this week's MN?
We've got a story on the right-hand page about Elvin Evans, and the headline is Elvin giving DMAC lifeline. So the story is basically that Elvin's got the opportunity to drive for DMAC next year, providing the regulations are there to allow DMAC to enter. There's a bit of complications going on with how the regulations are going to be, how they're going to be written, but I know the FIA are looking into the sort of how the regs work for next year, because obviously only manufacturers can run these new 2017 cars, and each manufacturer has to choose a tyre. So M Sport will almost certainly choose Mitchelly, which leaves them unable to run a DMAC car, if that makes sense. So the regulations have got to be sort of changed for that to happen. Well, not changed, because we haven't actually seen the regulations yet, but that's got to be written into the regulations. So a bit of a complicated story, but I know a lot of people are wondering about what Elvin's going to do in the future, and that's just a bit of a progression of the story, really.
I think the other thing is, as well, of course, we still haven't got clarification on what goes on with the 2016 cars. You know, obviously, I think Malcolm Wilson was quite vocal on trying to find a home for those cars. Could there be perhaps a chance for Elvin to drive a 2016 World Rally car with DMAC support?
The possibility is always there, isn't it? You know, until we've got news that Elvin signed a contract with someone, the possibility is always there. But I'd say it's very unlikely that Elvin would want to be driving a 2016 car. Is it his best second option? Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. But, Elvin's working really hard back in the 2017 car, and I don't think he'll stop till he gets there. And I saw some comments from Michelle Mandan, who told Evans not to give up on getting a seat, and I'd mirror that. I think Elvin needs to keep working hard to try and get into a 2017 car, because he's shown he's got the ability. Some of the guys, you know, talked about Tanak a lot, and Elvin was pretty on par with Tanak for most of the year when he was with him at M Sport. So I think the talent and the pace is there. It's just a case of the deals coming together.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Jack, we're at the point of the podcast now where you have to go and watch some modern dance. Remember to remove your shoes and socks so you can feel the music.
Contemporary
dance. Remember to remove your shoes and socks so you can feel the music through your feet and let it rise through your body. Bit of a tip for you there.
You know what, you two can take the mic all you like, but I'm going to support a friend and I'm proud of that. So you can both do one and enjoy the rest of your podcast.
On that bombshell, Jack Benyon, thank you as ever for joining us. Of course, we will have you back next week for the whole podcast. And as I say, have a good evening. And at this point, folks, we're going to go to a cheeky break and then we'll be back with, of course, the big story, which is VW.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. We flippantly said it was a quiet week for news. Of course it's not a quiet week for news. It's some may say it's a devastating week for the World Rally Championship, and the level of professionalism that Volkswagen Motorsport is being well noted on various social media platforms and everything else. But I'm going to come at this slightly left field, and I know what Ryan's going to shoot me down straight away. Right, are we surprised, aside from the issues why we know the pulling out, Volkswagen historically have done this. They've come in, they've smashed the sport, and then basically got out of it and went and done something else.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have. And I think that's what some people around rallying expected them to do. And then when they, you know, when they actually made an announcement that they were going to stick with World Championship Rallying, and I think they had drivers signed to the end of 18, you know, it was a refreshing change for them. Because, like you said, you know, they did exactly that in Dakar, for example, went to Dakar, dominated it, and then pulled out. But it did look like they were in World Rallying for the long haul. But obviously, this decision's been made at a high level, well above the motorsport department. This is a decision that's been made by the board, and I think it's as much about being seen to be doing the right thing as it is about saving money. I mean, yes, it'll save some money, but you know, the 40 or 50 million euros is a drop in the ocean compared to what we know about with the emission scandal. So I think part of this is about being seen to be doing the right thing.
I think, you know, there's been lots of different things already being bandied about, you know, what could happen. And I guess everybody's now playing fantasy driver lineups, because as Jack alluded to right at the top there, everyone was kind of sort. It was almost a little bit boring. We kind of thought, well, you know, this is it. Now we know where everybody's going to be and everything else. It's fair to say Sebastian Ogier comes on the market. He's not going to be kicking his heels, is he? Come the end of this year. In fact, let's be honest with you. Probably a week after Rally Australia, he's going to be in another rally car.
Assuming he wants to be, I guess. I mean, if I find it difficult to believe that Ogier will retire just yet, because funnily enough. And I'll come back on to some of the comments he made at the Rally Forum in a while, but at the Rally Forum, interested before Wales Rally GB, one of Sebastian Ogier's comments was, you know, where does his continued motivation come from? And one of his comments was the 2017 cars. He's really excited by the new technology. He's excited by the fact that the cars are faster. They're going to be more spectacular with much higher performance. And he really wanted to drive. And I think certainly that'll be enough motivation for him to change teams and to come back next year, to certainly see how the championship lives up to all the expectation, to see how the cars live up to that expectation, and to see how well he gets on with it. As to where he's going to go, well, I'm sure his phone's pretty busy at the minute.
You see, there's been lots of things, and obviously you and I have spoke about this kind of off air, if you like. Now, one thing that has been, I've seen it from various sources, was the fact, could Skoda pick up the baton? And as you correctly pointed out to me on the phone, well, it would be a hell of a turnaround to do it in time for Monte Carlo 2017. But Skoda is a brand that wasn't technically affected directly by the emissions. I know it's a Volkswagen brand, but it wasn't part of that American issue.
I just don't really see it. I mean, the Skoda program has been based around R5. It's been based around the second tier, if you like. And yes, we've seen Skoda fully fledged in WRC before. But, you know, to redevelop the car, even as a Fabia, would take an awful lot of time and effort, not to mention infrastructure. And like I said, this seems to be about being seen to do the right thing. And obviously, Volkswagen Motorsport was a complete and fully fledged factory team, building the cars in Hanover and run, like you said, very much as a works team, not a specialist, if you like, in the way that we've seen Pro Drive and M Sport come in, Tommy Mackinnon Racing now, to run it on behalf of a manufacturer. So, you know, they didn't have a customer department, they don't have a satellite operation. It's always been a fully fledged factory team, and we're obviously seeing today that what they're talking about doing in the future, and I just don't see it. I don't see Skoda moving up to the top division.
It is where I'm kind of slightly confused by what's come out, and you know, people have said, I think Andrew Coley, bless him, who was on the program last week, I seen him put a tweet out, you know, great news with regards to Volkswagen Motorsport staff. Obviously, not all going to be losing jobs. Some will be redeployed to their R5 program. Now, I'm going back 15 years ago. I had a limited experience of doing stuff with Volkswagen Racing over here in the UK. And I know you've done bits and pieces, obviously, with Audi and you know, part of the Volkswagen Audi group. Now, one thing that was always told to me way back then, and of course, you know, I'm going back 15 years nearly now, is that the brands would never fight. And that's where they got to when they had the problem with Sayat and they had the problem with Skoda, where the brands were fighting. I find it bizarre that they've announced that they will be building an R5 car.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, well, you say that it's a customer operation, isn't it? So customers can buy the cars, but potentially you could still have importers, a Volkswagen importer and a Skoda importer competing against each other. But I guess that's at a national level. So maybe that's the view that they're taking, is that, you know, their customer cars and what their customers choose to do with them is up to them. And also, I guess, we've seen Audi go head to head with Porsche at Le Mans for the last couple of years. So, you know, that's, and there's only been three manufacturers in there, and two of them have come from the Volkswagen group. So they've certainly been fighting in house at a very high level over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I just found it, you know, don't get me wrong, it was great for the guys that are there and everything else, but there's such an infrastructure that is, you know, there's obviously going to be now a lot of engineers and a lot of people, you know, that are going to be available. And all of a sudden, you potentially have got M Sport, you know, which is being run almost as a customer program. If you think about how M Sport is, you know, obviously it's not a manufacturing team, it's an M Sport program. And they could be in a position now where they could potentially pick up the current world champion and their engineers and everything else, if Ford or possibly Red Bull made that jump across.
I think certainly from an engineering point of view, you're absolutely right. I mean, Volkswagen have been the dominant team for the last few years, as we know. They've been dominant because the car has been so well engineered. I mean, yes, they've had a great budget, but they've had good engineers in there, and I'm sure there's you know, some engineers in that team getting calls from all over Europe at the minute, because inherently all the teams would like to know what's made their car so successful, and I'm sure they'd like to know the secrets of the well-developed 2017 Polo as well. You know, that obviously, even you look at somebody like Hyundai, the Hyundai team's based just down the road in Germany, so they're still expanding, still hiring staff, and I'm sure that they'll pick up some staff directly, as will the other teams.
Now, a couple of things as well that I've seen, and again on social media, and we thank everybody who does kind of include us in their little thoughts and comments and everything else. But someone like a ProDrive picking up this program, while I can see where they've got the idea from. Obviously, ProDrive did their own thing, building something for Volkswagen China, and they built this this Golf and everything else. But it's just never going to happen, is it?
It isn't, for two reasons. Firstly, the Volkswagen China program was exactly that. It was for Volkswagen China. It wasn't from the factory. It didn't have any factory blessing as such. It was an importer having a car built for their own use. Secondly, if it was as simple as giving ProDrive a car to enter the World Rally Championship with, would they not have done that with a Mini? Because they designed and built the Mini from scratch. They had a very competitive World Rally car at the time, but didn't have the budget to run the car. You know, it's millions of pounds to run these cars at a high level. And as much as it would be great to see ProDrive back in the top tier, and it may happen at some point, they you know, they struggled. The Mini was a great car from a marketing point of view. It fitted motorsport very well with the previous success of the brand, the Monte Carlo wins, etc. And they still couldn't raise the funding to run the car on the WRC. So, you know, even if, and I think it's very unlikely, we don't even know the 2017 Polo's even been homologated, but even if they could pick the cars up, that doesn't help them get a budget to run the cars for the year.
How do you see it panning out?
I think we will see the three Volkswagen drivers in action next year because of their experience. They, like I said, they've been in a top line team, a dominant team for the last few years. The car's been unbeatable nigh on. They have that experience. They're good drivers. They have great experience. They'll find homes for next year. What that does worry me slightly about is the junior drivers, the Craig Breens, maybe the Esker Pekka Lappis, the Sunnenens, etc. of this world, that look to be, and even Elfyn Evans in that bracket as well, we've suddenly got three top line drivers on the market, and it may be that they'll you know, they're going to push other drivers out of place, and some people out there probably saying, well, they've got contracts, but as we all know, contracts are made to be broken in the right circumstances. And if a Sebastien Ogier is coming into the team, I'm sorry, but contracts will go out the window.
Okay, that's again, we're going to do a little bit of fantasy booking or a fantasy signing, shall we say? Right, you're sat in your vascular at the moment in your office. You're Tommy Mäkinen. You've already announced Hannon. You've already announced Lappi, but this news breaks. You could move one of those drivers sideways, possibly to that mythical third car that could be coming. Although that we keep on hearing that it has to be a Japanese driver. I've heard that from numerous sources. There has to be a Japanese driver at some point in that third car. There's obviously got still testing to be done and everything else. You surely have to find a seat for one of those, at least, and I say this, at least one of those drivers, if not two.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. At least one of those drivers, because Toyota are brand new to this. They're coming in for the long haul. They want to win the World Rally Championship. They aren't coming just to get some brand exposure. They're coming in to win the World Rally Championship. You know, they haven't set up a brand new facility with Tommy Mäkinen to go about it half cocked when they've already got a motorsport facility that was fantastic in Cologne. They're in it to win it. Therefore, they will take at least one of these drivers. Now, which ones? So we'll start at the top. We just mentioned Sebastien Ogier. Will Sebastien Ogier be convinced that Toyota Motorsport, Tommy Mäkinen Racing, can provide a winning car for next year? And I'm not sure. Sebastien Ogier has already been through the effective sabbatical. You know, he took a back seat for a year, drove the S2000 Skoda whilst he was developing the Polo World Rally car. He's at a different stage in his career now. I don't think Sebastien Ogier will want to be in a car next year that he isn't 100% sure can win the championship next year. And the Toyota's a question mark. Citroën have been there and won the championship numerous times. He knows that. He's been there. Hyundai have got good foundations now and a lot of recent experience. And Toyota, at the minute, just haven't got that. And for me, that's why I'd be surprised if we see Sebastien Ogier in a Toyota. Having said that, when it comes to Jari Matti Latvala, well, let's look at the team. The Toyota team is a Finnish loving, isn't it, at the minute? It's Finnish run. It's got Finnish drivers. It's got Latvala written all over it. And I think Tommy Mäkinen, if he can't get Sebastien Ogier, will definitely sign Jari Matti Latvala.
I'm just trying to think of who is the main man who is the boss of Toyota Motorsport. For some reason, his name has just gone out of my head completely.
Ove Anderson.
No, that was from yesteryear. Who's the Japanese man from? Who's the Japanese guy from TMG?
Oh, don't know that one.
Who was the boss? He was the man who sat alongside Tommy Mäkinen when Tommy did that development car that ran as Finland. It was basically a Toyota with Subaru running gear underneath.
That was Toyota, Sam. But that's Mr. Toyota, who's boss of Toyota Motor Company as opposed to just Toyota Motorsport.
Right. Okay. With you. Do you not believe that Sebastien Ogier will be good with what he's achieved? I'm more than good with what he's achieved, by the way. Four world titles. Okay. He's married recently, had a new baby and everything else. There was possible rumours that he would retire in a few years' time and everything else. I'm sure he's more than financially comfortable as we speak. A Toyota deal could basically secure his future, his family's future, his child's future, beyond belief. He could effectively name his price to go to Toyota.
He could, but I can imagine he would still get paid a reasonable salary to go to Citroën. Maybe not Hyundai next year because they've already got drivers, but even Hyundai, let's face it, Sebastien Ogier is the best driver in the world at the minute. you would move, like you said, one of your current drivers sideways to a testing role if you had to accommodate him. And I just think for Ogier, it will come down to, yes, he's, I don't think it'll come down to money, because like you said, he's very comfortable. I think for Sebastian Ogier, it'll come down to who can give me a winning car for next year. And I think for Ogier, that will be more important than any financial incentives. And I think if, I think that's the job that Tommy Mäkinen will have, is can he convince Ogier to go to Toyota next year? Can he convince him that they can win next year? And I'm not sure he can be that convincing. You know, and we've seen the other rumours on the internet, and one which I put a tweet out saying I would love to see, and that's Sebastian Ogier in a Fiesta. It would be fantastic for a British team, for M Sport, to have the world's best driver. They've had a rough time, M Sport, over the last few years. It was great to see Tanak on the podium, great to see a Fiesta back up there. Wouldn't it be amazing to see Ogier in a Fiesta? And people are saying, well, that'll never happen. Surely it'll never happen. I sat through the rally forum again, as we were talking about, and Ben, I've read the interviews, I've heard the stories before that Ogier came close to signing for Malcolm Wilson. But what I was shocked about was just how much respect Sebastian Ogier clearly has for M Sport and Malcolm Wilson. And he actually said he regretted that he hadn't had a chance to drive for M Sport in his career. They're strong words, and he may now have that opportunity.
But to make that happen, we know the makeup of M Sport, and we know obviously, budgets have to be found, whether it's through, you know, with Eric Kamali, who's the French Motorsport Federation, and with Mads, there's wheels and wheels and wheels and wheels, and obviously Mads, we believe, won't be there next year from our understanding, unless somebody wants to put us straight, by all means, you know, to get in contact with us is absolute underscore rally. Mads, if you're listening, let us know what you're up to. Surely that would need, and I just wonder whether today, now this has all been confirmed, and maybe, you know, the likes of Malcolm Wilson was well ahead of the curve on this, and I just wonder whether he's already speaking to Ford saying, this could be our time again.
You're right, and at the end of the day, if M Sport are there anyway, with a Fiesta, it's already got a Ford badge on it. It just needs a bit of marketing support behind it, doesn't it? The team's already there. It could be their chance to at least increase the level of support. And I'm sure it opens up other financial avenues, you know, other opportunities by having a multiple world champion driving for you. So if there was a chance, then I'm sure, you know, more money could be raised for it. But whether it can be raised in the, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to have to make a decision in the next, 3 to 4 weeks at the most as to where he goes. And, you know, it's going to be difficult to raise that sort of finance in that time. So, you know, and then we come to Citroën, where he's obviously started his career at Citroën. He grew up with Citroën, then pretty much him and Loeb couldn't stay in the same team together. One of them had to move. Initially, it looked like it might be Loeb that would be pushed out until Monsieur Peugeot got involved himself and said, no, we want to keep Loeb. And Ogier found himself leaving the team. Now, could we see him going back to Citroën? Well, gosh, Alonso can go back to McLaren, then anything's possible in motorsport. I could see him going back to Citroën. It's a French team. He knows the team. He knows the way they work. He knows that they will have a car that can win rallies next year. And I could certainly see that happening.
How would you be feeling if you were Chris Meek at the moment?
You would be interested to see what's going to happen, wouldn't you? Because he's the undisputed number one there. There's no two ways about it. And suddenly, if you get a multiple world champion coming in the team who's French, then that's certainly it would make it equal number one at best, wouldn't it? Let's face it. So I'm sure Chris is interested to see what happens, and probably hoping that Sebastian doesn't go to Citroën, because I'm sure he wants that undisputed number one status that he's currently got.
I think everybody, I think other than obviously the French fans and everything else, you follow stuff on social media, you see what people are tweeting, and I guess we've all got a soft spot. And I think perhaps that's what Ogier was alluding to in the rally forum and stuff like that. I think everybody seems to have a soft spot for M Sport. And I think we'd all love, I think the fairy tale would be to see him in an M Sport Fiesta, surely. That would be the fairy tale.
It would be the fairy tale, like you say. Whether it's physically possible, feasible, financially viable, who knows? There's only Malcolm Wilson can really answer that one, and I'm sure it'll be a tough call because, like we said, it's very, very late in the day now. But if anybody can pull off that, you wouldn't put it past Malcolm Wilson. I'm sure it's a tough call, but you wouldn't put it past him to pull it off.
You know, I just wonder, of course, what happens to Red Bull now? That's the other big thing, of course. Red Bull has been at the forefront, quite literally, of the World Rally Championship on the number one car, on the world champion's car, every year for what? Last 15 years?
Yeah, we saw them obviously, well, maybe not quite that far back, but we certainly saw them have a successful relationship with Citroën, with Sebastian Loeb, and then moving on to Volkswagen as well. It's very much an unknown one, isn't it? When Volkswagen came into the World Rally Championship, it was no surprise to see Red Bull go with Volkswagen because they've always been big supporters of the Volkswagen Group Motorsport. You know, we've seen whatever branch of motorsport, we've often seen the Volkswagen Group and Red Bull been aligned through the years. Having said that, you know, if Volkswagen are gone, will Red Bull look to continue in the championship? Again, it's an interesting one to wait and see the answer to, because Red Bull is a blue chip sponsor now, isn't it? It's a big sponsor. It's one of the biggest names in world motorsport, and that is a key point really here. If we not only lost Volkswagen, but we also lost Red Bull from the championship, that would be a double blow. And I think, as you quite rightly said, if Red Bull stay and go to another team, that would be incredible because they are such a big player in world sport now.
Could they, unfortunately for us as rally fans, could they redirect that budget into their F1 team, which obviously is not quite where it was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it could happen very easily, couldn't it? And that's the risk. And, you know, they would have some sort of contract in place, obviously, with Volkswagen, and I'm sure they were quite happy to continue with the dominant winning team. There is other alliances in motorsport. We know that the Peugeot World Rallycross team, for example, have Red Bull sponsorship. So is the door still open for them to go back to PSA, to go back to Citroën? And I guess the answer is yes. But it isn't guaranteed anymore, is it? And like I say, I think that would be a big loss for the sport if they didn't go to another team.
So, we think Yari Matti will end up at Toyota.
I think the likelihood is yes. Could be completely wrong, but I would stick a tenner on it.
And from a Yorkshireman, that's tantamount to anywhere else in the world. There's somebody putting the deeds to their house, which is mortgage free on the table, by the way.
I won't go.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks. Accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is Absolute Rally.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Now, Andreas and Thierry Neuville have been going toe-to-toe for the second place in the World Rally Championship, and yet we still haven't quite found a hole for Andreas yet.
No, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he's on the radar. I think let's rule to a degree Hyundai out of this, unless they were going to pitch for Ogier, which let's not rule it out because they've got a big enough budget that they could do it. But if they weren't going to pitch for Ogier or didn't get Ogier, I think they'll leave the driver lineup as is because, you know, they've got three good drivers in the team that are, as you've just said, you know.
Can I just stop you? You've just said they've got three good drivers in the team. Now, they're all under contract, and we know contracts, as you correctly pointed out before, you've got a four-time World Rally Champion sat at home without a drive. Yeah.
No, you're right, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I think, but if they'll certainly be considering a pitch for Ogier, but what I was saying was if you took Ogier out of the question, I don't think Latvala or Mikkelsen will bring anything to Hyundai they haven't got.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a good established team, and like you've just said, Neville's been fighting with Mikkelsen for second in the championship. We've seen flashes of brilliance from Padden. We've seen great consistency from Danny Sordo again. I can't necessarily see them making a play for Latvala or Mikkelsen, but I could certainly see them still trying to pitch for Roger because, like you said, he's a four-time world champion. I think at the minute, you'd be surprised if he didn't have his choice of teams to go to, wouldn't you?
I'd be shocked and staggered. But ironically, in all what's going on at the moment, the only team, I keep on coming back to this, the only team technically with a free seat at the moment is M Sport.
Yes and no. I mean, like we said, it's contracted. Yes, we're saying people have contracts, but having contracts and actually having a seat in a car are two very different things.
Let's do it this way then. Let's kind of almost put a couple of things to bed. Let's say Ogier ends up back at Citroën. Okay, let's put Ogier there. Sorry, Chris, this is just theoretically at the moment. So Ogier's now off the table. You've got Jari Matti and you've got Andreas, okay? You've got Jari Matti. We feel, and I think everybody's felt pretty much from day one, that he would end up at Toyota. So there's Jari Matti's now gone to Toyota. There you go, job done. Andreas Mikkelsen, as you've just said, Jari Matti doesn't really bring anything to Hyundai that they haven't already got. So Andreas is not going to Hyundai. Andreas to M Sport?
Well, it's logical, isn't it, for several reasons. He's got current knowledge of the title-winning car. He's fast. He's consistent, relatively. You know, you'd have to say he's been more consistent than Latvala this year. That's why, you know, he's fighting for second in the championship. And he has big history at M Sport. And I'm sure if that was the logical route for him, then he wouldn't have any reluctance in going back to M Sport.
But the relationship, of course, back in the day with M Sport was one that is was a commercial one. You know, that wasn't the days of a works driver. Of course, that's when Andreas was working his way up in the sport, and obviously they were bringing a budget. Now, obviously,
but you could say the same for Jari Matti Latvala or Mikko Hirvonen at the time.
They were
financially backed, but you'd have to say now Mikkelsen can stand, you know, literally on his own two feet. He's a proven winner in the world championship, and he is a front running driver now. So I think I think it's a little bit different now to maybe what it was at that time.
But if rumours are to be believed that the M Sport drivers this year have all brought something to the table of some sort, even though it was said, you know, they are salaried and everything else, you know, they have both brought something, whether it's via, you know, the FFSA and things like that. You know, there was budgets brought of some sort. Andreas is not going to be interested in doing anything like that, surely. He's not going to be in a position to do that. Now, as Andreas got an ability to be able to for Malcolm Wilson to go to Ford or go to Red Bull or go to whoever it would be and sign a big sponsor to bring Andreas in as a paid driver.
Well, he probably does have some kudos, doesn't he? But it certainly isn't at the level of Ogier, that's for sure. But like I said, he is still a front running driver. Honest answer to that, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, again, we're just putting it out there. Anyway, listen, we're going to go through a couple of things that we had. The lovely people on Twitter kind of sent stuff in. Brendan Reeves, of course, who friend of the show, Rally Australia superstar and everything else, and listens to us when he's driving his truck. So, you know, he's just a normal man. But he felt this week we should be talking about Rally Australia and nothing else. But I just thought I'd mention that. But thanks, Brendo. Thanks for the download, as ever. Yeah, Peter Whitten, by the way, the guys from Rally Sport magazine over in Australia, a bit of an Australia thing here, said if we couldn't fill an hour on this one, we really possibly should pack up, which is fair dues. Now, Stephen McKinley is tweeted in, and he always tweets in. I think you know Stephen anyway, right? Do you think Seb Ogier could go to M Sport with the Red Bull money? I think we've just been talking about that, haven't we? Make them a contender again. I think we would all, I guess, like to see that. Again, moving on, we've got a couple of other bits and pieces here. Scott Newman, again, thanks for tweeting in. Yes, it is also quiet, as they say. Chris Campbell, thanks for tweeting in. We should be talking about the Banan Rally 2016. Season's out this week, apparently. Lee Walker, I think the next Absolute Rally is going to be worth a listen. Let us know what you think. We've done is basically we've kind of had the pub chat, I feel, tonight on this particular podcast, and I felt it was a podcast that we should do, and it should be the pub. It's fantasy rallying, isn't it? We're trying to find homes for drivers now because of what's come out. And John McCormick tweeted in a question, guys: do you think that this devalues the championship for other teams, or do you think others will see this as an opportunity? What do you make of that one, Ray?
I think that's a good point. Do I think it devalues the championship? No, I don't. It's the World Rally Championship. It's bigger than one team. We've seen it before. You know, funnily enough, I was testing one of the Mitsubishi World Rally cars today, and we saw Mitsubishi pull out a couple of times, and they were dominant at one time in the sport. Subaru were dominant at one time, and they pulled out. No, it's part of motorsport. You know, it comes and goes. It's a shame. Definitely, because with Toyota, you know, you're getting the world's number one manufacturer. You've got Hyundai in there, who are rapidly coming up on their heels as one of the big players. And with the Volkswagen Group, you've got another massive world player. And, you know, to have those key world players in there, Ford, you know, effectively as well, it is a loss. No two ways about it. It's a loss. But we've lost manufacturers before. We're going to have four full, all right, M-Sport we still talk about as a factory team, but we're effectively going to have four factory teams next year, four manufacturers, and that is a very strong championship. To have Citroën coming back, look at the history of Citroën in the World Rally Championship. They've done an incredible job. They've been dominant. We've got Hyundai who've come in with a really proper works effort, a professional effort. We've got M-Sport that, you know, we know in the right situation can come back and compete at the top level. And we've got Toyota who are coming back to win the championship. So it's a very, very exciting future. We're going to see an exciting couple of years in the World Championship. If anything, it opens things up for next year. There was probably still an expectancy that, well, Volkswagen have built the dominant car for the last few years. They've got Ogier. They're going to win again next year. Well, not now they aren't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So,
who is? And that's the exciting thing for me, is who's going to win next year's World Championship. And for the first time in a long time, we don't know the answer to that. Because if it's Sebastian Ogier, we don't even know what he's going to be driving. And for me, that's why I actually think it creates some excitement for the championship. Because for the first time in years, we have no idea who's going to win next year's World Championship or in what car.
Yeah. Richard Lee Williams as well. Thanks for posting on the Facebook page, Lee. Gutted VW leaving, but it's in its own way maybe a good thing. Pretty much just echoing what you've just said there, right? Will Ogier go to Citroën and fight out with me, or M Sport and make the Fiesta fly? Well, I think we've debated that probably more than enough over the last kind of 20 minutes, half an hour. I think we'd all like to see, I think without a shadow of a doubt, we'd all like to see him in a Fiesta. I think that's what it comes down to. And again, you know, everybody said, and Ray, you've echoed it, and I spoke to a few people at the forum, perhaps there was something in the air. Maybe there was a little bit more than just a loving. Maybe there was a hint there. Because I'm guessing that the fascinating thing for this for me as well, I wonder when the drivers knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, you're right, because, you know, at the end of the day, Volkswagen tested the 2017 car in Wales before Wales Rally GB. Now, if you knew you were going to pull out, you wouldn't have been doing that. So you'd have to say that at that point, you know, leading up to Wales Rally GB, you'd have to say that they must have still been in the dark about it. Why would you take the 2017 car to Wales if you already knew you were going to pull out? And the answer is, I don't think you would.
So they probably found out probably maybe only hours before we found out. I think it's fair to say.
There's a good chance of that, isn't there? I think there's a good chance. But you know, just one other point on the Rally Forum side of it. What Ogier actually said. You know, I actually wrote down a few notes. I got my phone out and wrote a few notes because it was such an interesting interview with Ogier. You know, Howard Davis was brilliant at getting Ogier to chat. And you know, one of his other points was rallying is his love. You know, again, I've seen a few tweets and a few comments on social media. Oh, that's it. Ogier will go to World Rallycross now and compete against Loeb and Solberg and whatever. But he actually said, again, that night, he said he wants to go rallying. He still feels his heart is in rallying, and that's what he wants to do. You know, he didn't rule out any other sports in the future, but there wasn't anything in particular that took his fancy. And as I said before, the 2017 cars are what motivated him and what he said was his driving force in the immediate future. So I'm sure we'll see Ogier in the WRC next year. Who knows what colour?
I'll tell you what, the service park on Rally Australia is going to be an interesting one, isn't it?
There's going to be a few meetings around the back of the trucks and hiding away from people and trying to get away from prying eyes, and it's all going to be going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be. Do you know what? If I had the money, I'd fly over just to watch what goes on in the service park lead up to the rally. To be perfectly honest with you, because I think there's going to be a little bit of flirting. I think it's fair to say. I think there's going to be a little bit of flirting with drivers and teams, and you know, whether they end up dancing with one another at the end of the rally, who knows? But I'm sure as soon as we find out, we'll let you know anyway. Right, I think we've debated it all we can debate it, and I think what we've done, we've voiced everything that's been on social media and everything else. And folks, again, we do appreciate it, and you know, let us know. We could be talking nonsense. This is the beauty of what we do, and this is the beauty of social media, and this is the beauty of our sport. We can debate it like this, and you know, if you disagree with us, let us know. Facebook page, facebook.com/absoluterally, or of course on Twitter, absolute_rally, and you can get us on there. Right, it seems odd to even ask this, bearing in mind the huge news that we've done this week. Do you have any other business?
I was just going to come back actually to what Jack said at the top of the show, and you know, we were really hoping that this was going to be Chris Mick's year to win Wales Rally GB. We've seen incredible performances from him this year. We've seen speed, we've seen consistency. We thought he was going to be fighting at the front, and he finished a distant fifth. You know, you've only got to see the footage from Wales Rally GB. Chris Meek was on it. He was driving as hard as he could, and you only had to hear any of the interviews, and obviously Chris was talking about road position. It shows that Ott Tanak probably had an advantage from DMAC tyres, because Chris Meek and Ott Tanak had similar road positions, and Tanak could make it work, and Chris Meek simply couldn't. But Chris has said for the last couple of years, really, that the one area where the Citroën is weak against the Volkswagen, it's traction. And obviously when the conditions were greasy as they were, when they were muddy, it puts traction at a premium. And unfortunately, the Citroën just can't compete against the newer cars in those conditions. And the fact that it was running a bit further down on the road seemed to just make that even worse. I guess if you flip it around, what could Tanak have done if he was higher up on the road?
I just hope this isn't another false dawn for Ott, because I think we've kind of almost been here before with him, when he was running in the Michelin livery car. I think you remember that would have been, what, 2013, something like that, and the road safety one. And we thought, right, okay, Ott's ready to go now, and then he went into the factory team, and it just didn't quite happen. But this year, he is embarrassed would be too big a word to use, but he certainly showed up the first choice factory drivers in a car that is running tyres which are not as sharp and not as on it as what we suspect the Michelin should be. So really, what could we expect from Tanak in, you know, a proper full factory spec car on Michelin tyres?
You're right that we don't know the answer to that, because as you've just said, we don't know exactly how much of an advantage the D-Max were when Tanak was going very well. And I think the honest answer is, in Poland, the tyres were working incredibly. In Finland, the tyres worked very well. And on Rally GB, the tyres worked incredibly well. And until you put Tanak back in a car on Michelins, then we won't get the answer to that question. And then also it begs the question, what happens to the D-Max team? You know, we heard talk earlier about Elvin Evans maybe getting out in a D-Max car. What will happen with the D-Max team? Will we see the possibility of D-Max picking up an Andreas Mikkelsen, for example? You know, and if a Tanak could exploit the benefits of those tyres at certain points, obviously so could a Mikkelsen. But we don't know. It, like you rightly say, we've seen Tanak progress this year. But his speed, is it from Tanak or is it from the tyres? And the honest answer is it's probably a bit of both, but certainly Rally GB, Tanak would not have been setting those tyres, not setting those times, had he been on Michelin's, or else we would have seen Chris Meek setting similar times.
Absolutely, and of course Chris had to manage his tyres, two punctures, having to run on the same four tyres for the remainder of the day, protecting them and things like that. And that was the other thing, you know, as you said, he was very happy with his own performance. He came out and he said that, and it did make me giggle though when Gilles asked him what the fog was like at that stage end. But Chris, what was the fog like? Foggy. I love it. So that is the end of this particular podcast. As I say, it's been a very chatty one, and it has just been us, and I'm the first to acknowledge it, but I did feel it was something that we wanted to debate and everything else, and the debate will go on, and that is the beauty of our sport. And yeah, as I say, by all means, put us straight on anything. My any other business is, if you're a rally fan, as I consider myself to be, and I properly wanted to immerse myself in Wales Rally GB, and I did as much as I possibly could. But don't go to a spectator stage as such. Go back into the forest, because I missed the forest this year, and I feel like I didn't quite get my Rally GB bug. And I was all right actually not doing it right. You know what everyone was saying? You're all right not doing it. It's the first time you've not done it in 3 or 4 years. And I was okay with it, and I really wanted to immerse myself in it. And I did everything. I did the city centre. I did the service park. I just didn't quite get into the forest, and I went to Chumley, and I can see why Chumley works for families and things like that, but it didn't quite get me, mate. Really didn't quite get me.
Yeah, there's nothing like, I mean, obviously, as a true rally fan, there's nothing like seeing a rally car in the forest, is there? And, you know, and there was some incredible footage that people had taken on camera phones and whatever else of some of the action. You know, the commitment, as we've talked about this, we've debated next year's rules and regulations. But if you see this year's cars in the right place through fast corners, they're a sight second to none. The excitement, the speed, the thrill, it's just incredible. You know, the current cars with the current drivers are you know, a sight to behold when you get them in the right place. And you know, let's hope that next year's regulations does take the sport in the right direction and just raises that to a new level, and we get more fans back into the sport.
Absolutely, couldn't have put it better myself, folks. That is the end of this week's podcast. Right, you'll be sunning yourself, won't you? You'll be in sunny Barbados this time next week.
I will be in Barbados next week. Yeah, I mean, this week I'm in the middle of Welsh Forest, which is kind of strange as the rally's moved out of town. But I've been in Sweetland today and in Walters Arena testing again tomorrow. So it's strange to be to kind of miss the rally and be in Forest, but nice to be in rally cars all the same.
It's a terrible life you lead. It really is, my heart bleeds. It really does. It's a terrible life.
Well,
you lead.
It was nice to be in a World Rally car again today, I have to say, and two-wheel drive tomorrow in a 911, so that'll be fun as well.
Wow, get you. I will be sat at my desk doing work. That's what I'll be doing. I won't be doing anything exciting now, though. The reason why we did recorded this podcast, the blessing in disguise of why this podcast wasn't recorded, it normally gets recorded Tuesday, sometimes a Wednesday morning. We're doing this Wednesday evening this week, is the fact that I was doing Aberdeen Comedy Festival. So I drove to Aberdeen yesterday, did the festival, and then drove back, and it took me 8 hours to get back today. And hence why we're recording this late. The beauty of that happening, of course, we had confirmation, very, very sadly, of Volkswagen Motorsport pulling out of WRC for the foreseeable future, at the very least. So there you go, folks. That is the end of this week's podcast. We do appreciate the download. If you're a rally fan and you've got friends who are rally fans, please spread the word. It would be good. It would be good. And a couple of other things as well. We are going to be changing a few things. We appreciate team coordinated support throughout the 2 years, both in our previous guys as TR and, of course, as Absolute Rally. But team coordinate will be leaving us because they're going into some other aspects of motorsport and a few other bits and pieces. So unfortunately, we won't have team coordinate from the end of this season as our title sponsor. So yeah, we need to find a new one. So if you're interested in getting involved, by all means, drop us a line. But anyway, we appreciate everything that Donna and her team has done for us over the years, because she's been with us pretty much from the very first podcast with James and Colin and myself. So yeah, we thank you for your support, Donna. Folks, thank you so much. Enjoy the podcast. Spread the word. He's been Ryan Champion. I've been Tony Simpson. Speak to you next week.